First of all, I just want to make everybody aware that what's printed in your bulletin, that sermon title is not the same sermon that Pastor gave to me last night. So I just want to, it's about the truth, that the truth be told instead of gifted-oriented ministry. So anyway, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning is from Paul's letter, first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, and it reads as follows. I thank him who has given me Paul strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for his reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the holy God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. A woman commented to her next-door neighbor, "What a wonderful husband you have. You've been married more than 20 years, and every day I see him get out of the car, walk around to your side, and open the door for you. It's so beautiful to see the love and respect he has for you. You must be very happy together." Her friend replied, "We are, but if the truth be told, what you don't see is him complaining about the blasted doorknob handle on my side that won't open all the time." Who said chivalry was dead, huh? This reminds me, after reading this, that, and I'm going to date myself here, back in the 1950s when I was in grade school, there were actually two TV programs. One was To Tell the Truth, and some of you older folks probably remember that, where they had a panel of three folks. Two of them were imposters, and one really was of some notoriety, and he or she told the truth. And then they had a panel that asked these people questions, and they would try to guess exactly who was the official person and not the imposter, and every wrong answer obviously would have a monetary value to it, and that person would actually win some money. And the other program that this reminds me of is Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards, if you remember that name. And they would actually have people come up and they would ask some ridiculous questions that actually nobody could ever answer. And when they couldn't answer the question, obviously they had some kind of ridiculous stunt that the person had to do, and obviously they won some money too. So anyway, those are the two programs that this sermon reminds me of, If the Truth Be Told. Okay, If the Truth Be Told is a pretty common expression. It's a phrase we use when we want to fill someone in the other half of a situation. It helps people see the whole story. In our day and age, it isn't always easy to tell the truth from fiction, truth from half-truths, or truth from white lies. Sometimes we don't want the truth to be told. In a Dennis the Menace cartoon, Dennis is sitting on the front steps of his home with his mother in the doorway, a scowl on her face, arms folded, obviously upset as Dennis' father had just come home from work. Dennis says to his father, "Would you rather hear the truth or my side of the story?" People keep the truth from others for various reasons. The person sitting next to you may look content, but if the truth be told, something has them very stressed, and they may be furious inside. People at work or at school may seem to have it all together, but if the truth were told, they are on the verge of going to pieces. As Christians, we know truth is important because our God has said so. But even secular counselors encourage people to be truthful. They do this because studies show that lying and keeping secrets creates anxiety and tension. If the truth be told, we'd all be healthier physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually. If you watch TV on the news as the elections draw near, it's going to become harder and harder to discern truth from half-truths and from pure fiction. It's disturbing, even frightening, to realize that people in institutions we've trusted can't be relied on anymore. It hurts deeply because untruth and deceit take away feelings of security and a true picture of our future. Perhaps if the truth be told were more than just an expression, we'd be more honest, open, and genuine, and therefore able to really be of more help to one another, especially as the body of Christ. But like dieting and exercising, even though we know honesty is the best policy, we often shy away from it. What might people think if I honestly shared my problems? They might think I'm weak and can't handle my own life, or that I'm just whining about my situation. What would people think if I honestly offered what I believe is truthful and helpful? Advice, maybe. They'd probably believe I'm egotistical and conceited, that I must think I believe I've got some sort of corner on the truth. As Christians, we've always been deeply concerned about the truth. We're concerned about the truth because God is concerned about the truth. In fact, Scripture describes God as the God of truth. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. John declares, "Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ," John 1, verse 17. And Jesus said of himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life," John chapter 14, verse 6. His commitment to truth took him to the cross, where he died to establish the truth once and for all that God loves us, that he is our Savior who wants all to be saved. That's the greatest truth of all. The truth is Jesus took our sins on himself in order to save us from the death we truthfully deserve for our sins. The truth is our baptism joins us to Christ in that death, so that Jesus' death is our death. The truth is, the same baptism joins us to Christ in his resurrection, so that we rise to newness of life through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, Christ has done everything needed for our salvation, and that faith in him alone assures us of life forever with him. Because we have been blessed to know God's grace through faith, we can face the truth that we are sinners. We can face this because we trust in the truth that God forgives our sins for the sake of life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, sinners like you and me. We've learned how important it is to rely on the truth that eternal life is a sure and certain hope because we know Jesus as our living Savior through the power and working of the Spirit of truth. And we also know God doesn't want this truth to be sole possession of just a few. And if the truth be told, what God wants for all people, that they be saved eternally, will happen. The truth that God wants all people to be saved is the mission and purpose for God's church, the body of Christ. And if the truth of the gospel be told, people will come to believe because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will bring them to faith. St. Paul gets to the heart of the issue by getting to the truth of what needs to happen for God's desire for people to take place. In Romans 10, Paul quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel, who said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Then he asks a series of questions. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You see, it's only if the truth be told that this certain reaction St. Paul is describing will happen. Today we recognize the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the group of dedicated women, Lutheran women in mission, understanding the importance of sending, preaching, hearing, believing, and calling on the name of the Lord in order for people to be saved. That's why we do all things they do in their programs, projects, most especially with their mission projects supported by mite box offerings. And by the way, mites are not insects. They're the smallest denomination of a coin in the Old Testament. That's why they committed, as their mission statement which says, to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the Triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. Again, I'll repeat it. To assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the Triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in the ministry to the people of the world. I don't know of a group of people who have been more singularly focused and committed to this purpose. For more than 80 years, the LWML has supported and shown that what can happen by the grace of God if the truth be told. They truly believe that the bottom line is that people from all nations, tribes, people, and languages will call on the name of the Lord and they will be saved. And everything they do is intended to make that happen. Today, those of us who aren't Lutheran women in mission also need to take seriously what will happen if the truth be told. It isn't just the task of the LWML or some select few who have been called into professional church work. God desires that each of us share that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants everyone in the world to hear his truth. Every one of us is sent out to share this truth with all people. We do this so that the lost may be found. There is a small Midwestern town that regularly has lying contests to see who can tell the tallest tale. The residents of that town have stated their desire to be known as the biggest liars the Midwest has ever seen. They even claim to be developing lying into an art form. While this kind of lying is meant to be humorous, and the practical jokes they play on one another are done in jest and for fun, nevertheless, the fact is, if the truth be told, they really are telling a lie. But here's the point. What if Christians expended as much energy and creativity to tell the truth about Jesus, in winsome, bold ways, as those people who have made it their goal to tell lies, even when the lies are told in jest? What if the truth be told with the same fervor? Truth is God's native language, and God has given us an incredible and amazing truth to share. In his word, God repeatedly invites us to imagine what life would be, what the world would be like, what a difference it would make if the truth be told. If the truth be told, God's love and forgiveness will bring peace and hope to all people who are lost and hurting because they don't know the truth. If the truth be told, people everywhere will come to faith and be saved. If the truth be told, people will know we have the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. Among us here at Grace, if the truth be told, must be more than just a clever expression. Think of the possibilities if the truth be told to those who are lost or hurting, those who are lied to and deceived, those who are lonely, poor, and confused. God's truth will open the door of true healing and peace. That statement, if the truth be told, expresses our compassion and our mission to bring all people to the knowledge of the truth, because the truth is God's message of salvation of all people by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But it'll only be theirs if the truth be told. Amen.